Join the conversation on The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll. Text 580-580 right now.
Let's see if we can figure out exactly what the Prime Minister has in mind here to help people who rent properties. How this fixes the shortage, I'm not entirely sure. But let's walk through it here with Steve Pomeroy, head of Focus Consulting Incorporated, a housing policy research consultant group based right here in Ottawa. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Bill.
So I disagree with the Prime Minister's premise right off the top that there's something fundamentally unfair about paying $2,000 a month for rent while someone paying the same for a mortgage gets equity and can build their credit score. Well, yeah, but you can also lose money in housing. There's no guarantee that you make money when you buy a house. People often lose money on houses and they have to maintain them and spend a lot of money on that. There's a risk that goes along with it. Plus, you have to come up with the money to make the initial investment. But I'm a capitalist, Steve, so I'm not sure I agree with that. Do you understand where he's coming from on that?
Yeah, well, I guess the announcement had sort of three elements to it. You know, this idea of a bill of rights to protect renters, the credit rating thing that you just mentioned, and funding to organizations that tenant support kind of organizations. I think in the main, I mean, it does reflect the government's desire to appear to be doing something about what everybody describes as a crisis in terms of the housing system and particularly the big increases in rents. But to some extent, I'm with you. I think this is more about making an announcement as opposed to something that's actually practical and doable.
Yeah, I would underline the word appearance there when you used it. I think you chose that word very carefully there, and I agree with you. It looks like something, but can it actually be something? Are you also confused about jurisdiction here? I mean, landlord and tenant disputes have been traditionally adjudicated provincially. I don't know how he's going to design a bill of rights and enforce it at the federal level.
Yeah, I'm entirely with you on that one as well. I mean, I think, you know, this is a classic case of, you know, we've kind of moved into an era these days of what I would sort of describe as competitive federalism as opposed to cooperative federalism. So instead of basically trying to work together, I mean, all of the provincial premiers and housing ministers are agreeing there are housing problems. And I think sitting around the table and constructively coming up with and saying, well, this is your jurisdiction. We'd encourage you to do things like this. I mean, I can imagine how Quebec will react to this particular intrusion into, you know, property rights and consumer protection are clearly provincial areas of provincial jurisdiction. And so I think they're basically setting themselves up for a gunfight. So at the end of the day, is that really going to help renters? I don't think so.
Yeah, and in this case, that's important. A lot of people roll their eyes about jurisdiction. They just want to be able to rent a property at a reasonable price and put a roof over their heads. So, but it is important because if it's not doable legally, then it doesn't solve the problem. Let's imagine for a moment, though, he can find a way to make this work, whether it's from offering the provinces money in order to design provincial laws. I don't know. But let's say he makes it work. This idea that you have a bill of rights, so you, as a renter, you can bargain fairly. You'll get to see what the previous tenant was paying for a property. So you can now, you have a starting point to bargain. But in the end, isn't that just choosing how much people pay? It doesn't create one more rental unit. It's still the same number of people fighting over too few properties.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a separate piece. I mean, there's the supply piece and getting supply done. I think they've got a bunch of other initiatives. They've already announced some. I'm sure they'll announce some more coming into the budget. But I mean, I think the issue that they're trying to get at here, the issue, you know, they've identified the issue correctly, which is we're seeing pretty significant increase in rents. When, you know, someone lives in a rental apartment for 8, 9, 10 years, they're under rent control, so the rent is you know, limited to the annual increase, and that person leaves, and then meanwhile, the market has moved up quite a lot. So they may be paying 900, the market rent's now 1500, so you get a big jump of 600 bucks. And so a bunch of research I've been involved in has looked at the loss of the lower rent stock as a result of these big rent jumps that are occurring. And it is a very, very significant challenge in terms of, you know, we still have a bunch of low-income people, but we don't have low-rent units anymore. And so they're experiencing problems. And I think government is trying to address that particular concern. And I think the better way to do that would be to speak to the provinces Right now, they can have a registry that basically says, here's what the landlord charged the previous tenant. But the provincial legislation is what actually allows the landlord to raise the rent to whatever the market will be bear with a new tenant. So the fact that you know what the previous tenant paid is irrelevant because the provincial legislation and the regulations allow that increase to happen. And if you want to actually slow down those big 14, 18, 20% increases that we're seeing on year-to-year rents, we really have to address the elephant in the room, which is the vacancy decontrol mechanism that's provincial legislation. And there is precedent for the federal government sitting down with the provinces and discussing this constructively. In 1975, when we had really, really high inflation, today's inflation doubled by comparison, but we had 12, 14% inflation in mid-70s. And the federal government brought in price and rent, price and wage controls to try and bring down prices and wages. And as part of that package, because they didn't have jurisdiction, they actually asked the provinces to implement rent controls and limit rent increases for a few years. And all the provinces agreed to do it, even Alberta. So there is precedent for sitting down, as I say, and having that constructive conversation and trying to get the provinces to pull the levers where they've got jurisdiction and let the federal government stick to its knitting and do the things where it has jurisdiction.
Right, but you also have to be careful about unintended consequences. I don't disagree with you that you can fight it on two fronts. On one hand, you can make it more fair for tenants. On the other hand, you can address the lack of stock out there, housing stock. Okay, but you might also be adding to the second problem with this, as I think we did with rent controls. How do you incentivize someone from taking their money, investing it in a rental property, if you make it more and more difficult to be profitable doing that? I think this tips the scale even more in favor of the tenants, and in fact, long-term hurts them because prices go up anyway because there's just too little stock. So I think you can actually make the problem worse if you interfere too much on the supply and demand part of fundamental capitalism.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly the argument that's always trotted out by the industry. But I think the evidence doesn't actually support that. I mean, I think what we've seen in the late 1980s, BC, we completely removed its rent controls at the behest of the industry and said, if you deregulate the market, we will build. They really didn't start building any rental housing. Ontario massively deregulated in 1998 on the same arguments to government that if you basically deregulate the rental market, and they brought in the so-called Tenant Protection Act at the time, brought in vacancy decontrol, promised to build a lot, and they didn't for 20 years. So if when government deregulates, they don't build, it's telling us that there are a whole bunch of other factors that are influencing investor behavior as to why they do or don't build rental. It's not just the regulatory.
No, and it's difficult to predict, right, when there are so many moving parts and so many other issues. Yes, they clearly didn't build, and we didn't keep up with the population explosion that we're seeing in Canada either. Yeah. But I'm not sure you make it more likely for them to build by making it tougher to be a landlord because – you can't get the rent that you need to pay for the place. So
it's a question of balance. I mean, I think you can design a fair mechanism, and certainly we have tried to do that with mechanisms that say, well, new construction is exempt from rent controls for 10 years or some number of years. And because new construction, we're seeing in here in Ottawa, we've seen a massive increase in new rental construction in the last number of years. Five times as many units as we were building for the previous 20 years. But those rents are coming on the market at 50, 60% higher than the average market rent. So we're getting supply, but not at the affordable level. And so basically, we don't care about regulating those units because they're not cheap anyway. We do care about regulating the older ones in the stock where low-income folks live and where the affordability is. And I think there's got to be some balance there so you can actually protect tenants without discouraging new construction, as you're suggesting.
Well, the Prime Minister got his 24 hours of looking like he's doing the right thing. Let's see if he can actually make it work when it may not even be federal jurisdiction. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Pomeroy is head of Focus Consulting Incorporated, a housing policy research consultant based right here in Ottawa. Not as easy as it sounds. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill.